Hear your voice saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." Put your hand on your eyes. Say, "Holy Spirit, open my eyes, my spiritual eyes, that I might see what you're doing in me." Put your hand on your heart and just say, "Lord, open my heart today, that I might receive all that you have for me. I'm ready to receive. I'm ready, ready. Are you ready?" Well, let's just pray the will of God be done here today. Father, we are so thankful. We are so grateful for the opportunity to be in your house on this Christmas Sunday morning. And we pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done in us as a church, as a congregation. And the will of God be done in us as individuals. We declare in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I love that name. Do you love that name? Well, let's give the Lord a shout. Can we do it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. Thank you, Pastor Bob Nichols, and Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas, everybody. Well, it's a delight to be here on a Christmas Sunday, and I get to preach this morning. And then at the close of the service, I'm going to receive a Christmas offering for our pastors, Bob and Joy Nichols, and then we get to eat together today. So I'm delighted. Jean sends her greetings, and she's with all of the family today on Christmas Sunday in the capital city of the great nation of Texas. So it's good to be here with Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols, with all of you. It's good to see Charlie and Lord Pryor still coming to church here. And they're real happy about the frogs. I started to say horns, but I won't say that. They're happy about the frogs. It's good to see Joe and Becky Cruz. You know, Joe and Becky Cruz only live 3 miles from us. And Gene will say, "I think that's Joe and Becky coming right there." And then she'll say, "I think that's Joe and Becky going right there." So not long ago, we did get together for a hamburger, didn't we? We met at a common place. I've known Joe and Becky since 1990. For weeks, we worked together at 5:42 in the morning and 5:42 in the afternoon. We got to know each other, so we've been friends. Good to see Kevin and Amy still here and Johnny still here and the whole gang. We're delighted to be here today. I feel the love of Jesus in this place. 77,000 people have come to know Jesus because people in this congregation went out and won somebody to the Lord. Hallelujah. The church is still praying. In fact, today I got my official prayer leader pin. I am now an official prayer leader at Calvary Cathedral's Power Tower. Hallelujah. Good to see you, Big John Hall, my friend since 1968 when he came to Holiday, Texas. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. I saw the red roof today. Boy, it's really great. I'm glad that I invested some money in the red roof. Praise God. Okay, well, I just came to say that you can do what God says you can do. And you can go where God says you can go. And you can stay where God says you can stay. You can say what God says you can say. You can have what God says you can have. You can be what God says you can be. You can start what God says you can start. You can finish what God says you can finish. You can live where God says you can live. You can give what God says you can give. You can receive what God says you can receive. You can buy what God says you can buy. You can sell what God says you can sell. You can minister where God says you can minister. You can pay off what God says you can pay off. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. This is a good day. Hallelujah. I declare that all is well today. All is well in your family. All is well in your church. All is well in your city. All is well in your finances. All is well in your family. This is a good day. Today is a wonderful day. I know how to blow the charge, but we don't know how to blow the retreat. Retreat is not an option. And glory to God. And so forth and so on. Somebody said, "I'm feeling it today. I'm feeling it today." Wow, I love coming to Calvary Cathedral. I've been coming here since 1986. I met Pastor Bob Nichols on the road to Jamaica. The Haiti, actually, wasn't it? And we preached there in Haiti, and we've been friends ever since. Well, I'm going to read a little bit of the Christmas story today, and then I'm going to share a word that God has put in my spirit. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 2, I love Christmas time. Anybody love Christmas time? I love Christmas time. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph, the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them of the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Boy, the choir, the music today was fantastic. That's not in the scripture, but it is. That's just an addendum. Praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. When 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. I love that name. Can anybody say Jesus? Can anybody say Jesus? His name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification concerning to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb should be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. I like that. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him, that's called revelation, by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit. I like that. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, into the church. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said. So the story of Jesus was more than just away in a manger, although I like that song. And it was more than just circumcision. It was more than just a wonderful night, holy night, when the shepherds may have came and the wise men came bringing gifts. But you must understand that the principal part of the life of Jesus was that his parents brought him to the house of the Lord. And there they dedicated him in the house of the Lord. And there they planted him in the house of the Lord. And the Bible says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. I like this passage I was reading on the plane this morning. It says in Psalms 92, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Shall what? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Hallelujah. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh. What? They shall be fresh and flourishing. When we are planted in the house of the Lord, we don't have to get old and bitter. We don't have to get worn out or worn down. We can be fresh and flourishing if we are planted in the house of the Lord. So there was a principle that Mary and Joseph established. They went to the house of the Lord, and there the man of God, Simeon, dedicated Jesus in the house of the Lord, and there was a planting in the house of the Lord, and there Jesus grew up in the house of the Lord. And when he was 12 years old, his parents, because of all of the commotion going on, all the people going around, supposing, I guess, that Jesus was hanging out with his 12-year-old friends, they couldn't find him. After 3 days, they found him, and there he was. There he was, ladies and gentlemen, in the house of the Lord. And he was there with all of the older men who were mentoring him. Hallelujah. I am here today, 48 years in the ministry, fresh and flourishing. Hallelujah. Fresh and flourishing because I grew up in the house of the Lord. From the time I was a little boy, as long as I can remember, I went to church. I was blessed. I have a mom and dad who took me to church. They did not send me to church. They sent me to the house of the Lord. They brought me to the house of the Lord, and there I grew up in the house of the Lord. As a boy in the house of the Lord, I accepted Jesus. As a boy, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I spoke in a language that I had not understood or not known before. I met my wife in the house of the Lord on a Friday night, by the way. Chloe Jean Denham. I met her in the house of the Lord. In December 1959, and we're still in love. Last time I checked, we were. And that was last night, so I believe we are. Hallelujah. I was called to preach in the house of the Lord. I went back to Wichita Falls, Texas this summer, took a roots trip, and went back to the place where I was called to preach when a prophet by the name of David Wilkerson preached and then laid his hands on me. And a man by the name of Carl Alcorn was the pastor. I went back to that place. I was married in the house of the Lord. I was called to preach in the house of the Lord. Dedicated my children into the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is the principal geographical location in my life. I love the house of the Lord. And there are people that have come to know Jesus. They have accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, But the one problem is that they have never been planted in the house of the Lord, or they have fell out of love with the house of the Lord. And many Christians today says it's not necessary to go to church every Sunday. A 100 million people in America do not attend church. We need God to send us some evangelists. We need some churches to be out on the streets every day of the week or 5 days a week, knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus and inviting them to come to the house of the Lord where they can get planted. So it's not just a matter of my parents being Christians, but it was a matter of my parents taking me to church every Sunday. There is a new thing going out today saying it's not necessary to go to church every Sunday. Maybe a couple of Sundays a month. What do people do on the other two Sundays? I don't know. But I can count on my two hands the number of Sundays that I missed growing up as a boy that I missed going to church. Because it was not an option. I never thought it was an option. I never knew that we could have a family discussion saying, do you think we ought to go to church today? No, we just got up. We went to the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. It was the Lord's Day, and the Lord's Day is when we go to the house of God. It's called Sunday, and I love Sunday. Hallelujah. I'm thankful I don't have to have a hangover on Sunday morning. That I can get up my head clear and take my family to the house of the Lord. There was a principle that Mary and Joseph set in motion when Jesus was a baby. They said, we will take him to the house of the Lord and we will plant him in the house of the Lord so that he can be fresh and flourishing. I love the house of God. On this Christmas Sunday, I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord. And I grew up in the house of God. We got ready every Sunday. We went to church. And we supported the church. I grew up in church. Hallelujah. And I went to church so much, I didn't know whether my church was on Willis Street or Fifth Street. Willis Street's where my house was. Fifth Street where the church was. But what happened to me week after week and month after month was something got planted in me. A faithfulness to the house of God. A love for the house of God. An honor for the house of God. And an honor for the man and woman of God that were called my pastors. I never heard my parents criticize our pastor at the dinner table. Not one time. So I revered him. I reverenced him. I loved him, and I was I thought the ministry was very honorable because my mom and dad, and some of the time I had to be honorable to the pastor because some of the years my dad was the pastor. Hallelujah. Amen? I know there's some times that we get up on Sunday morning, we don't feel like coming to church. You know, one Sunday I was telling Gene, I just don't feel like going today. I'm just not in the mood today, and I think I'm going to stay home. She said, you know, Dale, you don't need to stay home. And I said, well, just give me a good reason why I can't stay home. She said, because you're the pastor. You're the pastor. On tomorrow's radio broadcast, some of you know that I'm now on 24-hour radio. I'm broadcasting 24 hours a day. You can pray with me anytime, day or night. The Holy Spirit spoke to me several months ago and said, I want you to go on internet radio. I want you to broadcast 24 hours a day. I said, well, that's impossible. But how many knows that all things are possible? How many knows that nothing is impossible if we can believe? I told Jean and said, she said, Dale, you know you can't stay up around the clock and broadcast. I said, well, the Holy Spirit told me to, and there's a way. So I record a broadcast, and then a lady in Moldova, a guy produces it in England, a lady in Moldova puts it on at midnight every night. It plays for 24 hours, and then I do another one. And so I'm just praying day and night because that's what the Holy Ghost told me, believing God for 1 million people, 1,000 prayer centers, 1,000 prayer leaders. I'm thinking we got a prayer center here that's going day and night. But the church must pray. Because how many knows that our nation needs prayer? How many knows that we must have prayer? It's not an option. It's not an option now. We must have prayer, and prayer leads to revival, and revival leads to a spiritual awakening. And so there's a man that I'm going to have on the broadcast tomorrow. I've recorded that since I was coming here to preach this morning. But he and I both grew up in the same church in Comanche, Oklahoma, population 1,800 people. He knows that God can do things in small places. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. It makes no difference how small it may be seen. God can take and cause it to flourish, expand, grow over the wall. And so I was interviewing him. It'll be on tomorrow, Dr. Larry Martin. And he's an incredible man of God. He and I came out of the same church. His dad was a deacon. And his mom and dad, I remember, took Larry to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. So he did not grow up in a preacher's home, but he grew up in the church. In fact, he told me yesterday when I was interviewing him, he said, you know, I've been saved as long as I can remember. In fact, he said, I think that I was saved when I was 8 months old. He said, because I have a little certificate, I went to Vacation Bible School, and they gave me a certificate, Larry Martin, and there I accepted Jesus when I was 8 months old. He said, I got saved before I ever started walking. I got saved before I ever started talking. And I got saved before I could ever even change my own diaper. I got saved. So he said, I grew up in the house of the Lord. And out of Comanche, Oklahoma, he went on, earned his doctorate degree, became the president of a Bible college during the great revival that was going on in Brownsville several years ago. He was the president of the Bible school there. He was at 4 years, he was a part of the outpouring in Brownsville. Great man for revival. He's preached in 50 nations of the world, won thousands of people to Jesus. And it came out of Comanche, Oklahoma. But how did all this happen to Dr. Larry Martin? It happened because he grew up in the house of the Lord. His parents brought him to the house of the Lord. He and his brother and sister dedicated him to Jesus, and there he grew fresh and flourishing. And even though, you know, his wife died recently of cancer, and even though he was in lots of grief, he said, "I'm just keep going to the house of God." In fact, he told this little story to me. He said, when I was in Brownsville, he said, I learned this little song in Booster Band. I don't know if anybody ever go to Booster Band? 1, 2, 3. Nobody, actually. We used to have this thing years ago in the Assembly of God Church I grew up in. We had this Booster Band. Everybody, all the kids would come up and sing in the Booster Band. And he said, I learned this little song in the Booster Band. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. You probably know that, Joe, although you probably never was in a Booster Band. Growing up there in the Baptist, they didn't have Booster Bands. And he's just saying it was bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. He said, I was in so much grief. My wife passed away several weeks ago, and just going through a lot of grief. And said, I was ministering in this Spanish church, and said on Sunday morning after I got through ministering, I was just in so much grief because I would always go, even before I had Sunday lunch, and I'd call my wife, TJ, and we would talk about the service, and now she's in heaven. So the pastor said, you want to go have lunch? He said, no, I didn't. I think I'm going to skip lunch. But he said, I went back that night, and the service was going, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, the choir began to sing that old song. It's bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. And he said, in the house of God, just a few nights ago, the Holy Ghost came and touched my soul. I was in so much grief in my spirit. And as they began to sing, it's bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. He said, I began to bubble over in the Holy Ghost. But he said, it happened in the house of the Lord. You know, nowadays we say, well, we can't go to church because we were sick. When I was growing up, that's why we went to church. Because we knew when we went to church, somebody would anoint us with oil and we would get well before we ever got back home. So when I got sick, I never went to a doctor. Not that my parents didn't believe in medical science, but I never went to a doctor until I was 16 years old. Because every time I'd get sick, they would take me to the house of the Lord, and the pastor would get the anointing oil. He would lay hands on me, and I'd just get well. I'd just get well. So we especially went to church when we got sick. So nobody in my family ever said, well, I don't feel good today. I can't go. No, that's one reason we got to go, because we got to go and get healed so we get to feel better. So on this Christmas Sunday, I want you to know that I love the house of God. I love the house of the Lord. Amen. I love the house of God. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today that we need to have a recommitment to the house of God. That we will get planted in the house of the Lord so we can prosper, so that we can be blessed, so that we can come and hear the word of God from the man of God. You know, God has placed a pastor in our lives. Now, I live in Austin, Texas. Somebody says, well, it's kind of confusing. Bob Nichols is your pastor and you live in Austin, Texas. No, he'll always be my pastor until the day that I die. And the day that I die, then he'll preach my funeral up here. And I've already given instructions to put my coffin down here and put a microphone in one hand and a Bible in the other hand. And Gene says, in your coffin will go your three computers and your iPad and your notepad and all of your notes. They will go in there beside you. And then I've already given instructions. I know this is a little bit weird, but leave the coffin open so that people can wail and cry over my coffin. And I've got one pastor friend. He said he's already paid people to wail at his funeral. He's already given them money to wail and scream and cry. What do you think about that one, Wayne? I don't know what people do without a pastor or a church. What do they do when they get sick? I mean, in 2004, Jean was diagnosed with cancer. We were so shocked because she'd never even had a cavity, never been sick. And you know who I call? I didn't have to search for somebody to call. I knew who I could call, and that was my pastor and his wife, Bob and Joy Nichols. And I said, Gene has been diagnosed with cancer. What do we do? And what he said to me, he had words of wisdom. You know, we need some instruction. And what better way to get an instruction from a man of God that's pastored one church for 50 years? Hallelujah. So he said to me, Dale, whatever you do, he didn't say, now you got to trust God, not have surgery or have surgery. He just said, whatever you do it radically. You're going to trust God, not have surgery, do that radically. If you're going to have surgery, do it radically. Whatever you do, if you're going to go to an alternative medicine, do it radically. Whatever you do, just do it radically. And so I just took that word from God. I mean, just one word from God can change your life forever. Now, it might not have been a revelatory word, but it was a word of wisdom. Everybody knows that you can gain wisdom along the way. So when I need some wisdom, I can go to Pastor Bob Nichols and say, what do you think about this? I don't know what people do without a church. What do you do when one of your loved ones dies and you need someone to preach the funeral? You need a group of people to gather around you. One of my relatives not long ago died, and they didn't have a church, and no one was there to serve a meal. No one was there in the house to pray for them. I thought, this is really sad. This is really sad. Hallelujah. So I love the house of God. My pastor's in the house of God. I get wisdom in the house of God. I get a word from God from my pastor. I get words of counsel. I get some stability. I watch my pastor go through difficult times, difficult days. And I watch how he handles it. I watch how he responds to things. I watched that and I learned. And I've learned so much from my pastor, Bob Nichols. He's been such a tremendous strength in my life over the years since I first met him in 1988. What a difference he's made in my life. So my pastor's in the house of God. I love the house of God. And I'm thankful that my parents brought me to the house of God, dedicated me to the Lord, and I got planted in the house of the Lord. And there are people, estimates say as high as 33% of all Christians in America do not have a home church. What are they doing? The unchurched population is growing in America. Where have we missed it? Because everything that we do must surround the house of God, from a baby dedication to a funeral, and everything in between. It's the house of God. One of the reasons I'm in the ministry today is because when I was 6 years old, we had a six-week revival in our church, and it was not just Sunday and Monday. It was Saturday. It was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. Six, seven nights a week. For 6 weeks, 42 consecutive nights, we went in January in Oklahoma when it was snowing or sleeting or what have you. It made no difference. We were going to the house of God. But what I believe was happening with my mom and dad, O.C., the original O.C., O.C. and Delia, Dealer they called her, O.C. and Dealer Gentry, they were training their son, Del Wayne, to minister to nations of the world by just simply taking him to the house of God. And today, my children and my grandchildren are in the house of God because we took them to the house of God and we taught them a love for the house of God. And I look at Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols and their daughter, Susan, Philip, their kids. Now their kids and their grandkids are here, not because they have to be here, but because they were brought to the house of God and trained to love the house of God. And I believe that the house of God is a generational house where people can come with their children and their grandchildren and develop that love for the house of God. So if there has never been a time when we need to declare the principle that was taught to Jesus after the manger, after O Holy Night, after Silent Night, after Away in a Manger, after the circumcision, that they brought him to the house of God, dedicated Jesus, and he grew up in the house of God, and he desires for us to follow the quote of Joshua's for me in my house. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord in the house. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Father, I pray today that there will be a re-energizing, a recommitment, a new devotion, a new revelation, a new hunger for the house of God. A geographical location that has been dedicated as a church with a pastor and elders and leadership that are committed to the cause, who show up day and night, who open the doors week after week and month after month. And Lord, discerning the war on Christianity in America, may we not take this privilege for granted. May we not take just coming to church as a gimme. And knowing, Father God, that even at Calvary Cathedral, somebody paid the price. Somebody came and birthed the church in small beginnings in a little post office. And some people came with them. And over the years, people have come and gone, but Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols and others in leadership in this house, they have stayed. Through thick and thin. Through tornadoes and fires and floods and opposition. Somebody came and somebody stayed. Sometimes it's very easy to come, but sometimes it's not that easy to stay. And so I'm thankful on this Christmas Sunday, 2014, for the people that came, for Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols and others that came, Dr. Barney and Beth Stumbo and others, Charlie and Lori Pryor and others have came. Johnny Macon still on the organ. Kevin still on the keyboard. Others of you. In order that we might come to the house of God and enjoy the executive privilege that we have this morning of coming to a church and enjoying the conference, enjoying the music, enjoying everything, and sometimes not realizing the effort that's gone in just for a Sunday morning service. All the behind-the-scenes activities that have taken place. But we're thankful today. We're grateful today. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray a planting prayer today. A planting prayer. You know, sometimes people, they go from place to place. They don't really have a pastor. They attend church here, they attend church there, but they may not really have a church or a pastor. And there may be some people here today, you say, you know, I come to Calvary often, this may be your first time, or you come from time to time, but I've never really just declared that Calvary Cathedral is my church and Bob Nichols is my pastor. I believe that some things could get settled today. I'm so thankful that my father never did discuss with me, now son, do you like the youth program or do you like the children's program? And if you don't, we can go to another church and maybe there'll be another program you'll like better. There was never any discussion because my mom and dad, they made the decision on where they were going to be planted, and then I followed. Somebody needs to lead and somebody needs to follow. Hallelujah. So there needs to be some fathers that may say today, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to serve Him right here. We're going to serve Him right here at Calvary Cathedral. Or there may be some women here today and maybe you are a single mom or you do not have a husband. You just say, it's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Maybe I don't even have any children yet, but when I do, I'm going to bring that child here. It's going to be dedicated, be planted here. We need to get some, there may be a few people there this morning just need to get some things settled. So I just want to pray a planting prayer. I'm not even going to have you to come down. I'm just going to have you to stand. If you have never declared that this man is my pastor, Pastor Bob Nichols, I love to do these games with friends of mine. Let's have this little contest of how long your pastor has been pastoring your church. I win every time. Because I don't know if anybody's pastored a church longer than 50 years. So I'm going to pray right now, planting prayer. If this man, you've never said, this man is your pastor, this is your church, if you just stand to your feet, I'm going to pray a planting prayer over you. Don't come down. Just stand on your feet. Just say, I'm going to make a decision. going to get settled right now, that I am going to be planted in the house of the Lord. And Christmas Sunday 2014 was the day that I made that decision. Just stand on your feet. I want Dale Ginger to pray a planting prayer over me today. You may be a teenager here. Just say, this is my church. I want to get it settled. Okay, God bless you. There's people standing now. Just keep standing. I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm going to get some things settled. You know, the devil would like to have you to get into confusion about which house of the Lord you're supposed to go. Just any church is not good enough. No. There's a place, a particular place for you. We have a certain pastor and a certain church. Just stand. You're going to find some peace about this. You're not going to have to wonder next Sunday morning where we're going to go to church. You know where you're going to go to church. Get on your feet. I'm fixing to pray. Fixing to pray. Father, I pray for people all across this congregation that are making the choice. We must make decisions in life. They're making the choice. Bob Nichols is my pastor, and Calvary Cathedral is my church. And I pray this planting prayer over them, that they will prosper and be in health. They will flourish and stay fresh. They will bear fruit. Even in their old age, they will do it. I bless them now, and I declare this planting prayer, that they are planted in this house today so that they can grow and flourish and prosper. In Jesus' name, would you welcome everybody? Would you welcome these people that are getting planted today in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Welcome. Welcome to your home church. Welcome to your home church. You may be seated. God bless you. Hey, if you're not praying in the power tower, you need to do so. Hallelujah. Wow. In those early years when I would go up to pray, take my two-hour shift, well, the Holy Ghost would just speak to me. There's just a deposit of prayer there. Thank you so much for not only winning souls, but for praying. Today we're going to receive a special Christmas offering for our pastors, Bob and Joy Nichols.